Folks, where have we been over the last few weeks? Colossians chapter 1, we were introduced to the church in Colossae and Paul thanking God for them, praying for them that they may grow in him. And then we're just taken to this, the supremacy of Christ, who Jesus is, the radiance of the Father. But the radiance of the Father living in us is the first two chapters, really, of the book. And then we come to verses 6 and 7, chapter 2, and it's like the hinge. It's the linchpin. First is who we are in Christ and who Christ is. And then, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and just bursting, overflowing with thankfulness. Grounded, growing, and grateful. Then we finished last week, at the start of last week, thinking about set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds on the Lord. Actually, as you follow Jesus, this is where it changes from who we are in Christ to how we live in Christ. Personally, put off the old self. Put on the new self as we choose day and daily, every morning when our feet touch the carpet or the floorboards, that we choose to live for the Lord. That's where we come today to what our worship looks like. Since then, just as you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life, as this great phrase, is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, so then you also will appear with him in glory. But then, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's like a little brackets in the chapter. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spirit of God living in you, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Spirit of God living in us. There was a thing in those days, Roman culture and the Roman Empire, the Pax Romanus. So it's the peace that comes through the Roman government in your area, be it in Britannia, be it in Germania, be it here in Asia Minor, where Colossae was, is modern-day Turkey. But the Pax Romanus, wherever the Romans had come, they brought the Roman peace. But here Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, his spirit living in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, dwelling in us, in our hearts. As you teach and admonish one another, admonish is a tough wee word. It means correct. So as God's people in your worship, we want Christ by his Spirit living in us, dwelling in us richly. But actually, we want to live in a way that is sound, that is truthful, that is right. So at times, brother, I just need to say this to you in love. Admonish just means encourage and help. But at times, maybe put straight a little bit. Do we do that in love? As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, doesn't matter the style of worship, but give thanks to the source with gratitude in your hearts to God. Folks, what does our worship look like? And if you look at these verses, it flips between personal and relational. That we're to worship God together. But the next little bit drills down further. Verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. We have created this thing. Well, we do that in church, Gordy, don't we? That's what we do in church. And we do spiritual stuff and God stuff in church, but outside, not so much. No, whatever you do, says the verse, secular or sacred, out in the world or in church building. This is the whole of life worship. Songs on a Sunday, work on a Monday. Sanctuary or supermarket, home or holiday, cafe or car, wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever place you're set in, live for God. Whatever you do, whether in word or action. I love the way it's put in the message. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. What does that say to you today? And how do you actually meet with the Lord? A wee while ago, fantastic book, I would encourage you to it, Gary Thomas, Sacred Pathways. And it's about how we're all wired differently. And some of us worship God in a slightly different way. There are things that set our hearts ablaze where other things won't. I don't want to take a whole lot of time on it. But let me read you just 9 different areas, the 9 sacred pathways. The naturalist, loving God outdoors. Do you meet God best, worship him best, walking the beach or walking in a forest? Sensates, loving God with your senses, smells and bells. Traditionalist, loving God through ritual and symbol. Aesthetics, loving God in solitude and simplicity. Activists, loving God through confrontation. International Justice Ministries or whatever. Ah, let's get going. Caregivers, loving God by practically caring for others. The enthusiasts, loving God with mystery or celebration. You'll be at the front bouncing about with your hands raised. Contemplatives, loving God through quiet adoration. Intellectuals, loving God with your mind. Whatever you do, whatever way you're wired, that your priority is the Lord. But also, as I say, sanctuary or supermarket. We can stand in church singing with great guns, but be really rude to the person behind the till in the supermarket. So how you shop is an act of worship. What? How you drive your car is an act of worship. In everything, whatever you do, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Whoever, this is where we'll drop the bomb this morning, let's not get caught up on the word submit. Okay? But look at the change here in the passage. Whatever you do, and remember, no chapters or verses originally, and all of a sudden it says, how do we worship God, the whatever, alive in everyday relationships, in marriage, in family, in work. So where the whatever works out with the whoever is where the passage goes. I say, let's not get lost in some of the wording, although we'll jump into it a little bit. We do not get it. These words in the culture back then were explosive. Absolutely explosive because of the way people were treated. In a home and family, the wife had no voice or no choice. I remember a bundle of years ago being in Albania, and I just noticed one night we were out walking, and Pastor Bertie's wife, Tatiana, just always walked two steps behind. And it was a cultural thing. It was strange, but I clocked it and noticed it happening and thinking, what's going on here? But when we read here how our worship works out in and with the whoever, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. We read it in our culture, in our context, and we just see the word submit and thinking, I'm sure I'm not. Who's he think he is? And yet the other side of it, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. You know the words again in Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 5, where we read, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For husband is the head of the wife, Christ is the head of the wife. So I don't want to get caught up in this. I want to get caught up in how does our worship work out with the whoever. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives also submit to their husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy and cleansing. What's it saying here? I love the way Steve Brady, principal of Moorland Bible College, says Scripture makes it abundantly clear that both by creation and new creation, men and women are equal in the sight of God. But then he goes on to say, rather it is a matter of how things operate in the home. I believe men and women are equal in the sight of God. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Partnership is home. See, I don't want to get caught on it. It's not about rule, it's about role. How does that work out? We need to spend an evening on it. But submission and sacrifice are the two words that are together here. Submission and sacrifice. And then, how does that work out as a parent? How does that work out for, well, every one of us gathered in church, no matter what age we are a child. And we had our parents. So how does it work out for me? Mum's probably watching at home. Hello, Mum. Caring for your 91-year-old mother. What does that mean as a child? For you, what does that mean in your home and family? And it's not just fathers. The word can be translated parents. So it's not just dads. I remember a story years ago, true story. Young fella in church I was brought up in, he was a real wee character. He was a wee blonde hair that went up into the pulpit on prize day and give the book to the minister, says, I've already got this one. But one day his mum or dad was ragging at him about doing homework, and he went upstairs, packed his bag, came downstairs with the Bible, put the Bible down in front of his daddy and went, and it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And he left. And he came back for tea about half an hour later. What does it mean? How, folks, let's say we could spend a study evening on a Wednesday looking at this. But what Paul is saying here is whatever it is, worship God in that. As a wife or a husband, as a child or a parent, my goodness, folks, as a slave, our culture, an employee, or a master, an employer. How do we treat people around us? How do we live out our faith in day and daily relationships is what Paul is getting at here in the passage in Colossians. There's an awful lot in it, but again, what it is about, you see the words at the bottom, submission and sacrifice. It's not just wives submit. It's all of us submit to the Lord in everything, that he is Lord. These words, in the culture into which Paul was writing, were completely blowing things apart. Because masters had no, slaves were just insignificant and cast aside, as were marriage relationships. It was just cheap as chips. And Paul is saying, do not do that. Honor God in your home, in your everyday life. For parents and children, how do you bend the will without breaking the spirit, says James Dobson. How do we do that? Slaves and masters, Steve Brady says, slaves had no legal rights, employment legislation, or trade unions. Paul writes in the Lord, treat your employees well and with dignity. That completely explodes the culture of the day. And that's what Paul is writing to us here. In our worship, the whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, God the Father, through him. Whoever that brings you in contact with, and actually whenever, and oh my goodness, not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. What does that look like? I remember many years ago I worked in a drapery wholesaler, and each department in the place had travelers, and they went out across the province to get the orders and bring them back. One of the travelers was on holidays, so the boy who was deputy in the department, he was then out for fortnight shooting around. And Andy was taken aside a wee while later by some of the other travelers and given a good talking to about the expenses that he was putting in. In essence, because he wasn't milking them. He was treating his employers with dignity, and he wasn't buying the best of meals and staying in the best of places. He was staying in lovely places and he was having nice food, but he didn't wring it out. And he was told in no uncertain terms by the other travellers to catch himself on, because they were milking it. Whenever their eye is upon you, with reverence for the Lord and sincerity of heart, for you and I, what does this say to us today? Again, it's kind of going over it, but verse 23, all things, whatever you do, attitude, work at it with all your heart. Why? It's the old phrase, for the audience of one. For you're working for the Lord, not for men. What does this say to you and I, folks, in our world today? Steve Brady, again, his little book was very helpful. Nothing is too small, humble, or insignificant if it's done for Christ. Not just when their eye is on you, but at all times. Sometimes in the smallest of details is the biggest of impact. And I've seen that time and again in people's lives. I came into church and I was sitting on my own, and somebody came over and spoke to me. And that tipped the balance in my attitude to the things of the Lord and actually drew me in to the fellowship. Something that seemed so small, wasn't big and showy. It was quiet and understated. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the day of small things. Folks, for you and I, every detail of our lives, our worship, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, and it's the Lord Christ that you're serving. So for you and I this morning, in our worship, can I ask for you, whatever, But what's the whatever for you? What are the things and where are the places? Who are the people that you make most impact in as you live a life of worship, as you rub shoulders? Maybe come September again at the school gate, maybe in the workplace, maybe down at the golf club, in your four ball, whatever it might be. Who are the whoever that you rub shoulders with? And remember the whenever, not just when their eye is on you, but at all times. Because we live for an audience of one, and it is the Lord that we serve. I'm going to sing as we close our service in a little while. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take all aspects of my life, Lord, the whatever, the whoever, the whenever. May my life be a life of worship.